listening to nativetalk.net. Audio files are available online at nativetalk.net. Be a part of the program by emailing us, podcast@nativetalk.net. And now, your hosts Cliff and Brandon, your first choice in Native Talk Radio.
Hey, Brandon, do you know how we got to be first?
I don't know. How?
We called ahead and had the best reservation.
Oh, now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. I'm shocked that we're actually recording now.
Are you shocked, Clifton?
I am. I thought we were calling it off for a while because Brandon would prefer to play video games and record a show.
You're so full of crap, dude. You know. You know what I've been doing. I got
playing
married.
Video games. There was a new what new video game came out? The
I traveled over 2,000 miles. No, in real life. This really happened.
Okay, games are not real life, Brandon. It's about time you realized that.
I've had a very, very busy 4 weeks, but I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be recording. At least I was until this intro happened.
Well, if anyone else besides Brandon wants to be a part of the program, you can call us and leave a message, which we'll play on the air, if you call 970-278-5791 or email podcast@nativetalk.net. Now, you mentioned something that you had been doing the last couple of weeks, not just video games, you said?
You're such an ass. No, not just video games. I have been very, 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 very excruciatingly busy.
And doing what again?
So many things. I got married.
That's the one. Okay. I wanted to hear. You got married, and how is that?
Awkward, but fun. I'm happy to be a husband instead of just a very long-time partner.
Oh, this isn't a new girl.
No, of course not. No, this is the woman I've been calling my wife the whole time I've been on the podcast.
Even though it wasn't your wife.
Not legally. We got together at 14 and stayed together until 30 and finally got married.
So beforehand, because you guys have been together so long and you guys have children together, it would have been considered a common law marriage, right?
No, because that's not recognized in many states. Like 26 states out of the union don't have common law marriage.
Yeah, but in the state of California where you reside, if you were to break up, what, she would get nothing?
Nothing. It's completely... what's it called? Matrimony or what is it called?
Yeah, they still recognize that you guys have been together and it's not like, you know, oh, too bad, you know, I mean, you still have custody issues and stuff like that.
The custody issues would happen, but as far as property, there's no community property when you aren't married. So if I bought something, which is the case, then it would be legally mine. No matter what hand she had in helping me get it.
Okay. Now, do you know how Pacific Northwestern Indians got married?
No, but I did use a Pacific Northwestern line in my wedding vows.
How's that?
It was a O-O Shabitsi Chub.
Which means what?
I have love for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... up in the old times, in Pacific Northwestern, the coastal Indians were divided up into two or many times more clans. And obviously, you couldn't marry somebody from your own clan because, you know...
Incest.
Yeah.
It's still a thing.
Could be an issue. So, for example, the Haida was a tribe that only had two clans. So if you're a member of this tribe, you were born either a raven or an eagle. Okay, so because I mean, a lot of people intermarried within the same tribe, but they had, you know, the different clans, so you know who you could marry. So when a man wanted to marry a woman, and this is true with any of the tribes up in the area, he had to pay the father an agreed amount prior to the ceremony, kind of like a dowry. So how much did you pay Valerie's father?
I took her off his hands and supported her instead of him.
Okay.
I hope she doesn't listen to this episode.
and so once an amount was agreed upon, the husband paid the father, and the wife was actually given a decent portion of that payment. So she would get some for herself, okay?
So she's basically a prostitute at this point.
I'm not going to go that far.
Oh, is that offensive to say? Yes. I was joking, everybody. It was a joke.
And then so then the man owned the woman until their first child was born. And when the baby was born, it belonged to the mother's clan. Okay, so not the husband's clan. It was a member of the mother's clan. Then the clan had to pay the husband a sum equal to the marriage contract. So whatever the husband paid, then the clan had to pay for the baby because it was a part of their clan. Okay.
So in my little joking world, what I'm hearing is they were like, husband was like, all right, I'm going to pay for you for a few months. Oh, you had a baby. You're broken. I want a refund. And then he gets his down payment back to go get a new model.
If you put it that way, because the interesting thing is when the clan paid for the child, that annulled the marriage and the woman had the choice to stay or leave her husband as she chose.
I kind of like this. This is a pretty good arrangement.
I thought it was interesting reading about that.
I mean, it's like leasing a car. You always got the new Tesla to go right around town in, right?
I think, though, if you engaged in that behavior, you might have a difficult time finding a new wife.
Hey, if I get enough of them, I'll just save up the down payments and I'll have an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah, that's probably not going to work out real well. I think it's one of those situations where on paper it looked a certain way, but in practice it was kind of different. You know what
Possibly.
I mean? Kind of like a ceremonial, traditional. I don't think that the man ever actually owned the woman. You know, it's kind of like the situations where you might have a ceremonial issue and some men take it to the extreme and take advantage of a situation.
I'm confused.
Okay, like for example, you have like the rules are set up in a certain way, right? So they're more traditional than practical. And then some men go, well, practically I own you, so I can do whatever the crap I want. And so he might have been beating his wife or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
And so then she would have the choice to get out. Yeah, that makes sense. But I kind of like it my way. I'm going to stick with that. And until you build a time machine and go back in time and prove that's not how it was done, that's how it was done to me.
All right. So now you mentioned that you and your now wife, you guys have kids together, right?
Yes, two children together.
Okay. So what do you do if your child comes home from school in tears? Hey, come home from school, you pick them up, they're crying.
I mean, realistically, I would first thing I'd do is talk to the child and say, why are you crying?
I don't want to talk about it.
It could be something simple, like the child did something wrong to somebody else and got in trouble and doesn't want to tell me that he got in trouble, so now he's crying, you know?
And the child says, I don't want to talk about it. Not interested.
Yeah, we're going to be having a talk. And nope. his whole life is on pause until I get some words from him.
I guess it's on pause because I'm not talking.
Then that's you may think I'm joking. Then that is literally where we will sit until he tells me something. His whole day is over until he gives me words at that point.
And if he just starts crying and doesn't want to talk about it. Now, remember, this is in this case, let's say you recently moved. Okay, so you're in Sacramento, and let's say you move, I don't know, up to Tacoma. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so shortly after you move, that's when your kid is like crying and stuff like that. And let's say he just gives you an excuse, you know, hey, dad, it's just hard because we moved.
Okay. Then I would talk with him, develop strategies, plan something that might be fun for him and try to get him out of his funk.
And it works. But what if he's every single day he comes home from school? Like, what are you thinking is the cause of it if he won't talk to you about the cause? You can just tell he's sad. He's trying to go on with his day. He's trying to get over it. But he's clearly got issues, you know, that he doesn't want to talk about.
I'm having a really hard time giving you an answer and then you completely, like, rejecting it because it's not the one you want because it doesn't proceed to progress your story.
Because in the... Well, no. In the story, that's exactly what happened. Because the Tia Murray Large, she's a member of the Pheasant Rump Nakota Nation in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan, and she could not understand why her 8-year-old son, Mylan, came home from school every single day in tears. Now, she went your route. Talk to him. Try to get it out of him. She'd ask him every single day, what's wrong? Is there anything you want to tell me? Come on, man. I promise I won't get mad. No matter what it is, you're not going to be in trouble. I just want to know. And he kept it clammed up forever. He wouldn't tell her. And she figured it was because they moved to Alberta from their previous city. And Mylan was the only Native American child in his class. Okay?
Okay.
And so she decided, you know what? Maybe I should talk with the teacher.
That would be my next step. If I literally can't get anything from him over days and days, I would talk to either the teacher or the office staff.
Okay. And during that meeting, your kid breaks down just completely, sobbing. You know the thing where they, it's not just crying, it's an absolute breakdown. And then they find out the reason why is because he's a native and his classmates have been bullying him because of his long hair. What do you do now?
Hang my head in shame. Because
in shame of the long hair?
No, of my child letting that bullying affecting him.
Oh, so you're putting this on the kid now.
Well, I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds like an asshole thing to do. But I mean, at a certain point, you're like, you are who you are. And if someone's going to make fun of your long hair, that problem is on them, not on you. Like that's their fault, like fault meaning something wrong inside of them. Because they're targeting an outward appearance of somebody else and choosing that to attack them on. But if you have long hair, man, that's just you. That's just who you are. And especially if you're native, there's a heritage and a culture that goes with it. It has significance. So, yeah, don't let it bother you, kid. I mean, are they just using words or are they grabbing his hair and pulling his head down?
From what I can see, it's just words.
Yeah, if it's just words, kid, you got to get tougher skin and realize that what other people perceive about you will never be good. You will never do the right thing. Go look at the most beautiful people in the world, all these celebrities that you have in magazines and movies. Go look at the comment section. They're not accepted by everybody. You could try as much as you want to change your outward appearance. You will never make anybody happy with you, you know? Make everybody, rather, happy with you. So don't cry about it, because otherwise you'll be crying the rest of your life.
Okay, so you're saying that if you just give in to what the bullies want, that you're just going to be more of a target, maybe?
No, I'm saying that if you change something that's important about yourself to make other people happy, you will make a whole different group of people unhappy, and you'll find yourself right in the back in the same situation, with the exception that, where with the difference being now you're not who you wanted to be. Now you're somebody different. You changed for other people, but for no reason. You've only lost a part of yourself and gained nothing in return.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what Mylan decided to do after talking with his mother and
the teacher. Please don't cut your hair, Mylan.
I think you're going to be disappointed.
God bless America.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with more stimulating Native Talk Radio right here at nativetalk.net.
What was more important than the invention of the first telephone? The second telephone. You're listening to nativetalk.net. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Or Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The NativeTalk.net radio podcast. The greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. So visit us online at nativetalk.net and tell your friends to download a few shows, because Well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver, or WTF with Mark Maron, or Hardcore History.
Hey, this is Steve with ThePeoplesAmmo.com. Do you enjoy the outdoor sportsman lifestyle? We've got the high-quality, reliable ammo you need, from home defense rounds to outdoor enjoyment. So check this out at ThePeoplesAmmo.com, where we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all ammo is not created equal. Visit ThePeoplesAmmo.com, where you can stock up on the quality rounds you deserve and shoot with confidence. ThePeoplesAmmo.com.
You're listening to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. In the event we lose broadcast pressure, place headphones over ears and listen normally. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Message line if you want to call in and drop us a line, 970-278-5791, or visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/NativeTalkRadio. Now, real quick, before we get back to our story, are you more of a dog person or a cat person?
I'm a human person.
You don't like animals?
No, I mean, sorry, that was a bad joke. I think I prefer, that's a tough call, dude. Like, I like cats when I'm active, and I like cats when I'm like dogs when I'm active, and I like cats when I'm sedentary.
Okay, and what is your opinion on dogs? Like, if you had to categorize a dog, like, what would you say about them?
A lot. Like, fluffy, loyal, courteous, kind. Basically the Boy Scout motto.
Okay, and cats?
You ever meet a really mean woman who was playing with your heartstrings?
Isn't that the woman you married?
No, that dumbass. That's basically a cat.
Valerie.
They're standoffish, and they'll only love you on their terms, that kind of thing.
Well, it turns out that unlike dogs, who have been completely domesticated for thousands of years, cats are only semi-domesticated, which is the word from researchers at the Genome Institute at Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri, which leads me to ask the question, why is Washington University in St. Louis?
That's a great question. Maybe because Washington is an iconic figure in America?
That could be. So he compared genomes, that is, the genetic blueprints.
No, that's the quarterback, right? Genome Smith? For the quarterback for the Eagles?
Funny joke, man.
I can't even remember what team he plays for now.
So he compared the genetic blueprints of domestic and wild cats. And the surprise finding was that there is actual DNA evidence of cats' domestication when compared to their wild cousins, which is something that really surprised the study leader, who expected them to be the same. So the genome of domestic cats has changed very little since they're split from wild cats, but the new genome mapping shows key areas where the house cat's DNA did diverge significantly from their wild cousins, okay? So regions included fear, memory, reward-seeking, all of which they believe play a role in domestications. Humans most likely welcomed cats in because they controlled rodents and that consumed their grain harvest, and we thought that humans would offer cats food as a reward to stick around. And so they are...
Nope.
No?
I hate how practical these researchers try to be. They're like, oh, yes, they kept dogs around because they could help protect predators. Oh, they kept cats around so they could keep mice away. Yeah, maybe on a ship across the Atlantic Ocean, that might have been the case. But cats showed up for a much, much simpler purpose.
What?
Humans thought they were cute.
Yeah, until they tear your face off.
No. If you're out there and you see a cat that just shows up around the corner, you know, like you're out there cooking something and a cat shows up, I believe it's a strong instinctual drive from humans to want to befriend a mysterious animal that shows up on the outskirts of your town, unless you know it to be dangerous, like a, you know,
like a cat
or something. No, like a how, like if a little tiny lynx or something showed up and be like, yeah, man, have some
chicken. Lynx will rip you apart, man.
A lynx is like 2.5 feet long.
And they're wild. They will tear you up.
You know what they would tear up before me?
What?
The chicken I'm giving them. They'd be all happy.
And, all right.
I
well,
think that's how, I think that's why it started. I think humans just think furry things are cute.
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, they like having it around, but the fact is that they are somewhat domesticated, but other than that, they share a lot of the DNA, almost all of it, with their wild counterparts. That's why they're so cat-like. I don't know. All that yeah. stuff that you talked about. Well, not like dogs who are like, you know, all about you. They're not wolves.
Maybe I watched it. Maybe it was a documentary. But I heard that there was a research team that hooked up GPS to cats, and they wanted to find out what happens to an outdoor cat when it goes outside, right? It's a domesticated house cat that gets allowed outside. And they would ask its owners, where do you think your cat goes?
Semi-domesticated.
Shut up. All of them would say, oh, we think it goes out, you know, in our front yard, the neighbor's houses, you know, right around, right in front of our house. Nope. They have like over a square mile that they patrol, and like every house cat averaged like a mile and a quarter that they would go around. And they found out that like 80% of bird deaths in America are caused by house cats that are let outside.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
now,
pretty
I mean,
interesting.
This is third-hand knowledge. Feel free to Google me and check my facts on that, but that's what I took away from this documentary or whatever that I saw. That it just surprised me. So yeah, your little fluffy house cat pet, it's a lion in disguise.
How do you know that the cats have taken over your house?
How?
Well, new official language of the house. Meow. Dog is missing. Appears to have been a scuffle. Leash also gone. Bathroom door locked. Litter box moved to your bedroom.
Oh, yes.
The only thing in the fridge? Milk.
Yeah.
And a new deadbolt lock installed on the front door, 1 foot above the ground. Cats always want to go outside. All right.
They're taking over.
Let's get back to our main story of the day. About Mylan, who has been bullied at school about his Indian heritage and his long hair. So as a parent, you already explained what you would tell him. Basically, suck it up, pal.
Well,
don't let people bother you. That's pretty much what your answer was.
I hate to say it, but I'm kind of fed up with the coddling bullshit that people make their children do now, you know, like there's children aren't oh my God, dude, I was a preschool teacher. Okay. And
you, they allowed you around children
for years. And the most frustrating thing, I loved the women I worked with. They were so caring and did their job so well and taught so much to the children, but they're all old ladies, you know, and they don't want any harm to come to the children, clearly. So they would take away all semblance of risk, right?
Okay.
So if a child, say for example, a 4-year-old is on a bench of a picnic table and he decides to jump 2 feet to the ground, the teachers would immediately flood to him. Oh no, this is so dangerous. You cannot stand on this bench.
Come on.
You cannot jump down. This, you could hurt yourself. You could, it's grass that he's jumping into. There could be something in the grass that you don't see. It's like children need to take risk. They need to develop on their own. We should not coddle them. And I think this is one of those cases where you're getting flack from other people and you need to teach your child to stand up for yourself and do what you feel is right for yourself,
well,
not what other people think of you.
Mylan's mom did not feel the same way as you do. But by the way, I agree with you. She points to the recent rise in teen suicides across the country, and particularly across Indian country, and decided, I had to make the decision that I would rather cut his hair than have him become suicidal. So she's taken preemptive measures. By cutting his hair, maybe it will save him. Now, you mentioned that hair has significance in Native American cultures, yes?
Yeah. Well, from what I understand, which isn't a lot.
Well, most North American peoples see hair as a source of strength and power. Now, of course, it varies from tribe to tribe, whether you're talking about, you know, this style, if it's like just long and straight or in braids or, you know, the Mohawks or whatever. But besides that, in almost every tribe, hair does have a serious significance. It helps to define both individuals, nations, and societies within those nations, like the clans, like we talked about last segment.
Yeah.
Right? As part of 19th century policies of forced assimilation, the United States and Canadian governments both began what were called an assault on tribal hairstyles. Long hair signaled whether or not people were civilized. In the minds of teachers and bureaucrats, if you had long hair, you're pretty much a savage. And so the first step in assimilation and, you know, teaching these kids how to be civilized was chopping their hair off. They called them blanket Indians, which was a disparaging term for Native people who retained their traditional customs. Thing is, soon as she cut his hair, the bullying all stopped.
Okay.
And he was fine. So.
Oh, and I'm sure at 8 years old, this is the last time he will ever have to deal with bullying for the next 10 years of school. Not a
right. Nothing else will ever come up
in his future. Will anything ever happen? And what are you going to do when it's something that he's doing, an action that he's making, that he's being made fun of? You can't cut the hair of a person's mannerisms, you know? Like think about the people that you bullied in school, because that's another thing that all of us adults seem to forget. We all bullied. Don't you remember?
And got bullied.
And got bullied. It was a constant revolving door of bullying, and everybody
you got to stand up for yourself.
Part.
I teach my kid the same thing. You have got to stand up for yourself, because if you don't stand up for yourself, no matter what you do, it's going to continue. At the same time, sometimes you should probably listen to them. For example, if you have high water jeans, you know, like I can see your ankle and everybody's walking around saying, hey, expecting a flood? Where's the flood?
This happened to me for like 9 months out of my life. And I was just called high waters. That
yeah.
was what they called me
so,
all day long. And I mean, There was 32, 36 kids in my class, and there was three classes in my year, and there was 3 years on my playground, and I'm, you know, like fourth, fifth, and sixth graders all on the playground. I mean, everybody called me High Waters.
Sometimes they're just trying to help you out, man, and tell you, dude, get some new pants.
Which I couldn't, right? I'm a child in a family of six kids. I couldn't just get pants.
Yeah, right. And I had the same issue, but I would go home and tell mom, hey, I need to get a new pair of pants.
Yeah, high waters just ain't looking cool on me, man.
Well, Conrad Eaglefeather, he's a Sikongu Lakota living on the South Dakota Rosebud Reservation, took a job for an organization out in California. He wanted to grow his hair out for his heritage, but long hair was a violation of the company's grooming standards. He even got a spiritual leader, a tribal leader, explained to them why it was important for me to wear long hair, but they said no. Any difference there?
Yeah, huge difference there.
Okay, what is it?
Education is something that is required for all children to go to. Parents receive punishments, and I don't know exactly how big the punishments are, but I think there's like jail time involved if you don't educate your child, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, which I could be way off base there, double check me, but I know that it's a bad thing to not send your kids to school, and the U.S. government says it's mandatory for your kid to get educated. That is not the same with work. Work is we all have the choice to go to work. No one's forcing us to go flip burgers, and no one is guaranteeing us a job if we go search for one. You know what I mean?
Okay, so when he said, hey, I'd really like to change the policy, because I see you've got a policy, and for cultural reasons, can we change the policy?
Hey, more power to you. If you want to go talk to the people that wrote the rules and try to get them to write an exception for you because maybe they weren't thinking of your situation when they wrote the rule, hey, I fully believe in trying to get the rule changed, but and in the case of hair, you can't, cut it and then be like, oh, now I can wear long hair and grow it out again. You know, so he can't follow the rule while trying to change it, but he can try and change that rule. I'm fine with that. And if it doesn't work, if like you said, it all falls through, I mean, make your choice, man. What's more important to you?
Yeah. The company also had a similar policy about facial hair. Absolutely no facial hair. Until a man showed up and said, well, I'd really like to wear a beard. And they said, sure, no problem. And immediately changed the policy for the bearded man.
Wow. But they told the native man he can't grow his hair out?
Uh-huh.
Well, this seems like a pretty garbage company. You might not want to be working for him.
So he's enlisted the help of a legal organization. And in the end, he did win the right to grow his hair. Well, he did what he had to do. They probably shouldn't have just immediately changed policy for the bearded man. They should have said, hey, rules are rules, buddy.
Well, yeah, if that's their hard line in the sand, you got to stay firm on it.
Yeah, you can't draw a hard line in the sand for one guy and for the next guy say, no, we're going to change for you.
Yeah, it's not like you can have a rule saying no headwear at work whatsoever, and a Muslim man walks in with a hijab or whatever they wear. I don't know what the heck those things are called.
Uh-huh.
And
turbans.
A woman.
They're called turbans.
All right, we'll say a woman comes in with a hijab, just so I'm not horribly racist. And you tell her no headwear, not going to happen. And then, Steve comes in with a Make America Great Again hat, and you're like, hey, Steve, good to have you back at work, buddy. Got your desk ready for you right here. That is discrimination.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were doing. So the for school kids who want to wear braids and long hair, they've started an organization called Boys with Braids, which has spread across Canada and down into the U.S., sprouting chapters in California, Michigan, New Mexico, and South Dakota, states all with large Native American populations. So, up in South Dakota, the local Boys with Braids chapter invites boys to weekly meetings and events, including horseback riding camps, cooking lessons, and even a buffalo hunt designed to instill pride not just in hair, but in all Native traditions.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned that...
My youngest son had really long hair for a super long time, but we actually did just cut that recently.
Okay, but it probably wasn't because somebody was forcing you to.
No, he was saying that he's tired of it being all over his face.
Remember we mentioned Mylan at the beginning, who was forced to cut his hair because of bullying? And he did report that the bullying has stopped, but he said, I don't care. I'm going to grow my hair out again.
Attaboy.
And I hope that will come along with standing up for himself.
Yeah, because it takes a good long time to grow that hair back, and maybe when he gets it back, he'll be ready to yell in someone's face when they start making fun of it.
Yeah, be proud of who he is. That's what I think he should do. Because if it's not against school rules, and it doesn't seem like it is, because he was able to go to school, especially as a native, so, stand up to those bullies. And
especially
don't run to the teacher every
in
time.
Today's age about long hair, there are so many children that are growing up right now that have hair down to the middle of their back,
Yeah, exactly. So I support him, and I'm glad he's growing his hair out. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thank you, as always, for listening. We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, available online at nativetalk.net. Visit us online. Send us comments. Facebook.com Native Talk Radio, and have a great day. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net Radio Podcast. Our conversations are never tested on animals. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.